District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
I'm Alan Cox. I'm here today with Charlie Gunningham, an advisor for accelerating commercialisation.
I am, yes. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
It is a mouthful. It's a federal government
program.
I don't know anything about it. What is it?
So basically, I'm here in WA. I'm one of 20 advisors in the country, one of two in WA. And we have to go out and try and find innovative companies that we can help. So where they have something really good, already at a prototype stage, but they haven't yet made any sales, they're pre-revenue. We are trying to accelerate their commercialization. We're trying to get them to first sales. And for some reason, the market hasn't funded them fully. The market has failed to fund something good. So I'm trying to find something that's novel and noble, hasn't yet made first sales, and we're going to try and get them there. And they can get a grant up to $1 million. It's matching dollar for dollar. The average size grant is $450,000. I think I've been on the program 2 years. It's been going almost five years, run out of Canberra. And they've handed out 400 grants around the country. Total of about just under $200 million has been handed out.
That's great. Have you got any exciting success stories?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've done four grants and I've got a fifth one up to the committee in a couple of weeks. The committee in Canberra meets every 6 weeks, eight times a year. And my first one ended up being Startup of the Year, Innovator of the Year, very, very smart ag tech company called Swan Systems. You know, go to swansystems.com.au. These are former banana plantation growers. Three guys in their 50s. So it's a myth that startups are run by 20-year-olds with tight jeans and trendy beards and coffee macchiatinos walking through co-working spaces. They exist. But in fact, the average age of a startup founder is 43. These guys are all in their 50s. And they've been working, one of them, Ivor, come from Zimbabwe. Tim was up in the Gascoyne, that's where they met. Rod came from FMG, so he's the corporate guy, ex-banker. The three of them together saw a real problem with irrigators not knowing how much to water on their pastures. Whether you are a cattle farmer or whether you're a land developer or whether you're even a city council running loads of parks, how many times have you driven around and seen the sprinklers going while it's raining?
Yes.
They have no idea whether, you know, should they turn the sprinklers on Friday? Even if they weren't going to turn them on, what, they're going to drive around and manually stop the sprinklers? It's just ridiculous. So their system is fantastic. It allows you to see how much water is in the soil already, whether there's going to be a water event, how much evaporation and wind there's going to be, and how much that crop and that soil naturally needs water for the next 7 days. Keep it under optimal amount.
That sounds like a stunning...
It's a pretty cool technology. And WA Technology, what about that? So they got a grant. They were my first grantee. I sat there very nervously, seeing if they'd get a grant. And the board said to me, this is one of the best things I've ever seen.
You mentioned noble before. What do you mean by that?
Well, I suppose worthy, novel as well. So we want to find some innovation that they have got, a defensible IP. We're unlikely to give a grant to somebody if 5 minutes later someone else can do it. So they've got to have something that they've invented, some novel, worthy technology that has got a big market out there. And for some reason or other, they haven't been able to get there yet. But they've got it to an MVP, minimum viable product or prototype stage, and we can help them. Free advice. My time is free. I'm paid by the government. We genuinely just want to help companies. That's why I love this job. I've been doing it just on 2 years. I spend all day, every day with WA entrepreneurs who've got stars in their eyes and they're trying to do something great. And very, very rarely do I find something that's bad.
How did you get into this?
Well, I suppose I've had 20 years in the startup scene here in Perth. I came here 20 years ago as a school teacher from England. You can probably tell from my accent.
I can tell you a bit of the accent, yes.
I had 8 years in Singapore. So I actually left England 30 years ago in the late 80s. Taught in Singapore. I met my wife. Lisa and I came here in 97. I did an MBA, Master of Business at UWA. Then I was back in teaching, but I just knew, it was before we had kids, I wanted to go and do something else. So back then, you remember the dot-coms in the late 90s?
Yes.
I set up one of them.
Oh, yeah.
What you'd now call an early stage tech company or a startup. And we were an online real estate business called AussieHome.com, which I thought was quite a good name. Very confusing because everyone thought we were Aussie Homes, like Aussie Home Loans.
Yeah.
We weren't. But we were like a realestate.com for Perth before realestate.com got here. And there were some other local people trying to do it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, We made loads of mistakes, but we somehow survived and had a 10-year history there. And we were acquired by REWA, the Real Estate Institute of WA. So I ended up running REWA.com. All my staff got jobs at REWA. All my shareholders got a cash exit. It was a really good journey over 10 years. Ran REWA.com. Then I ran Business News, their digital transformation journey. CEO there for 4 years. And then I got this job. So I suppose I've had 20 years in the startup scene, either doing it myself or since Space Cube, the first co-working space opened in 2012, they wanted mentors and advisors. So because I'd been through a startup, I put my hand up. And that got me into this whole scene, I suppose.
You've got focus on the customer problem. What do you mean by that?
So this advice I give is very much my personal advice. It's not to be construed as advice from the department. I'm a contractor. I'm not actually an employee of the government. I just want to say that first. So, my first tip, and I think the most important thing, I sit with entrepreneurs every day, usually at a coffee shop. I want a nice neutral venue. And what I usually get from them is 20 minutes of all the features of the app that they've built, right? They feature bash me. It can do this, it can do that. It's like they've fallen in love with their product, bless them. I did the same when I was doing my startup. It's a very easy trap to fall into. The product is going to change. What you should fall in love with is your customer problem you're trying to solve, right? And the bigger, hairier, global customer problem you can find that really bugs the hell out of your customer, the better. The one that you're going to solve elegantly with technology, such that you create value for them. And because you create value for them, they'll pay you money. And if they pay you money, you just might have a business.
Wonderful.
It's amazing how many people get that wrong. So what I'd say is, focus on the customer problem. And at no time can you say, we've drawn a line in the sand, we've solved it, customer problem solved, all done. We're going to just make money on this baby now for 50 years. Because, of course, customer problem changes all the time.
But how do you find out the customer problem?
Well, sometimes it's a problem that entrepreneurs have themselves had. And then they realize that a lot of other people have this problem. So with my company, AussieHome.com, back 20 years ago, I just found waiting around for the weekend papers and charging around the home opens, half the ads had no price or address in them. I thought that was crazy. Why couldn't we just lay out properties on a map on the internet so everyone could see where the properties for sale or rent were? And then I met Nick on the MBA, and he had the same problem. He was from Switzerland. I was from England. We came in, we bought a house for the first time in Australia around the same time and had the same problem. And the more we researched it, we thought, there isn't a site that does it, and there's more people have this problem.
So it's a case of being aware of your surroundings and keeping an eye on what problems you're experiencing.
Yeah, and doing some research and seeing if other people are doing it and talking it out with other people. I suppose it's noticing something that's out of place. There's a mess that no one else has noticed. They've looked at it a million times and they've looked straight through it. Funnily enough, with my one, I got the customer problem wrong. The customer problem was not buyers and looking for rent or sale because they weren't paying me money. Who was paying me money? Real estate agents. They don't have a problem with buyers coming to them. Buyers buy properties. The problem the real estate agents have, these are the ones paying me money. They were my customer, right? Is listings. They list and last, they say in real estate. And it took us 18 months post-launch to figure that out. And the light bulb moment was, that's their problem. We've got to give them listing tools. So we started doing websites, magazines, photography, floor plans. Later we did apps, telling them how to use social media. Anything to give them an edge in the listing interview when they're going in looking at the owner, and the owner's got to hopefully choose them over the other two or three real estate agents that they're going to interview. It's all about listing. It's not about selling. And that was like, right. We confused the customer with the user. We were the user. We weren't the customer. Customer was the real estate agent.
Charlie, you've got a statement here. Invest in digital media, education and promotion. What does that mean?
Well, that's my tip for business, right?
Yeah.
So these days, and I saw it with my own startup, the way in which people promote or should be promoting their business has changed irrevocably over the last sort of 10, 20 years. I've seen it, right? 20 years, that was fairly analog. You'd sort of, there are a few media you'd go in. You might go in the local newspaper, maybe a national newspaper, maybe a magazine. You might even be able to afford radio or TV, and that was it. And you would hit your target. Now that's completely changed. People are consuming their media in different ways, and you've got to be alive to how they are consuming media. So they are on their social media for about 2 hours a day on average, and they're watching TV for far less than that, listening to the radio far less than that. there are other activities they do, like normal activities like eating, less than that. They're on social media more than that. So where do you need to be? You cannot ignore the fact that in West Australia, you know, we've got 2.5 million population, 1.25, 1.3 million are on Facebook. And half of them go every day, and some of them are on it pretty much all day. Now, we can bemoan that, but if that's where the people are, that's where your consumers are, where you need to be. So I would say you need a, if you can't learn and do this all yourself, which not everyone can do, you need a really good digital media marketing consultant to hold your hand through that journey and find out where you should be promoting yourself. Should it be on Instagram? Is it going to be on Facebook? Is it going to be on LinkedIn or Twitter? Are you going to have a customer relationship management system? Are you going to do email marketing? And then if you're going to do email marketing, which day of the week is going to be the best open rate? Which hour of the day? By the way, I found that Wednesday, 2 o'clock was the best time for open rates, but it can vary depending on your industry. So all these sort of little fine details I found out by trial and error and having some really good digital marketing people along the way that taught me a lot and that I used. So my tip to business is, even if you're scared of it, if you don't know how to do it, even if you still print out your emails, I mean, I'm pretty sad if you do, but if that's what you do, God bless you. The lesson is, go and find a really good digital marketing consultant, because that is the way you're going to get sales and leads. And these days, there is no excuse. If I'm going to give you $1,000 for marketing or $10,000 for marketing, you should be able to know which lever to pull, and you should know, need to know how many dollars in profit or whatever you want, revenue, sales, that will result in. There's a box, right, called digital marketing, and you might have an agency that's going to help you. But the money you put into that box, you should know what's coming out the other end. You should. You should. Attribution modeling. You should exactly know how that generates into leads and sales. And if not, keep trialing until you work out the formula. And for every business, it's going to be slightly different.
Do you have any tips on where to go to find examples of that model?
Well, I've worked with some really good digital marketing people. I'm not going to name them here, but there are some really good ones around Perth. And it's a matter of getting out there and finding who they are and making sure that you've spoken to people who've used them before, maybe in the same sort of industry, and go and use these guys. They're amazing.
Check them out.
Yeah. So just an example, when I was at Business News, we put up a paywall, right? So our traffic went from 40,000 unique visitors a month down to 30,000. So we lost a quarter of our traffic by putting up a paywall. People could not look at an article unless they registered, and then eventually, unless they're only happy with 7 or 8 articles a month, they had to pay. So that's a paywall. Quite a brave decision. That was 2013. Our traffic fell by 25%. By engaging in the right digital marketing consultant who we found in 2014, he helped us grow the traffic by a factor of 5. We ended up going from about 30, 40,000 visitors to 170,000 visitors a month. So that's pretty impressive from behind a paywall.
Yes.
I can't claim credit for that. The only thing I did was hire him.
Well,
but he did it.
Yeah.
And then told us what to do and we implemented it. But
well, the fact is that you actually hired him. You knew enough to hire him and then do what he suggested.
Hmm. And the same old things aren't going to work anymore. You've got to look at these new ways. You've just got to. Can't try everything, but you know, find out what you can execute on and execute on it and measure it.
Why wouldn't you use all digital media?
Just spread yourself too thin and then you'll never know what's worked. You try everything, scattergun approach. Well, which one's worked? You tried 20 things. It could be a combination of 1, 2, or 3 of them is what you should be using.
Why do we need to network?
Well, as business people, I presume that's what we're talking about. I was told when I was running a business a few years ago, if you don't go in to about 2 or 3 network events a week, you're doing, firstly, harm to your business, because you're going to pick up sales from that if you do it the right way, and you might do harm to your career. How many people have got jobs from networking? I think I've only been to 2 interviews in my life, and I've had about 6 or 7 jobs over 30 years or more. I think the only jobs I got from an interview, my first 2 teaching jobs. After that, it's been networks. So you do your career active disservice if you don't go out and network actively and do it properly. But if you're in a BDM role or you're a CEO or you're running a small business owner, you're absolutely doing your business harm by not networking. But you've got to do it the right way, okay? And I treat networking. So the question is, what's the right way?
What's the right way?
That's the right way. I believe, in my humble opinion, and this is just what I've noticed over the last 20 years, I treat social media like I treat a networking event. I go there to connect and engage and add value. I don't go there for leads or sales. I don't go there to sell. But you know what results? When you add value and you connect, you get leads and you make sales. So imagine if you were a real estate agent and you're invited to a barbecue at Christmas and you wandered around with a big placard and on it it said 4x2 for sale in Dianella, right? And wandered around the barbecue doing this. Everyone else would go, who's that idiot with the placard? Don't invite him again, right? And I'm amazed at people who go to a social media event and they're like, do the hard sell. They're out there with the business cards. How many can I collect? It's like a numbers game for them. It's like a scattergun numbers game. And it's just like, oh, everyone just hates that, right? But I've been to a few, I was lucky enough to go to a few how to network functions early on. Ron Gibson and people like that. And I went, right, that's clever. You know, you go and connect with someone. For example, you walk into a room and what we naturally do is we gravitate to the people we already know. Oh, thank God, Jim's here. Oh, Jane's here. Thank goodness. I know somebody, right? And that's an uneasy feeling when you go into a room. Don't do that. You've got to go and meet someone new. Pick the person who's on their own. They're socially awkward with a little prawn in their champagne, sitting in the corner, hoping they will just blend into the wallpaper. Go and rescue them. Go up to them and say, hi, what do you do? What brings you here? They'll be so relieved, they start talking to you. And then they'll say, what do you do? And you know what? Thinking all the time, how can I help this person? Can I introduce them to them? Someone? Can I give them a lead? The more you do that, and you go around and meet, you know, 3 or 4 new people at each event, I promise you, it'll be returned to you many times over.
The theory of reciprocity.
That's how Perth works, right? Perth's like this big networking business scene. It's quite cliquey, but if you go to these events and go to them regularly, depending who you want to meet, then you will connect quite quickly with people, and people quite actually like to help you too. Maybe not straight away, but maybe a few weeks later, someone will ring you up and go, or you'll get a LinkedIn message. Oh, Charlie, this person might be good for the AC grant. I get so many leads that way. Or this person needs a website done, or, you know, oh, I know a web designer. Or this guy needs a digital marketing person. Oh, I'll put him in touch with that person over there. So that's what you do. It'll come back to you.
I actually spoke with somebody a few days ago, and they told me of an example where 4 years after they made the initial contact with a person through networking, they actually got an order worth thousands of dollars.
The best communication, despite all this wonderful digital media, which I'm a big fan of, the best communication is still face-to-face.
Yes.
How humans, we interact best that way. We connect that way. Plus, if you're smart about it, right, if you want to meet the decision makers in the mining industry or oil and gas, right, go to the sort of events the decision makers are going to be at. You're going to see them. They're going to be right over there. You buy a ticket to the dance, $50, $100 for that breakfast. But if the head of Chevron is over there or the decision maker at BHP is over there, you can walk up to them. Try getting them on the phone. Good luck. You won't get through the gatekeeper. But there they are in the room. Or they might even be speaking at the event. And as they walk off the event, you're the first to go up there and just say hello. You know, do these things. It's amazing the numbers who don't do it.
Thanks, Charlie. They're really good tips, particularly the one about the networking, I think, is spot on. And it's something that lots of people and lots of business people need to do more of.
Absolutely.
But do it properly, as you said.
Yes.
Don't be that guy with the placard.
No, build the relationships.
Absolutely. Get permission to sell once you've connected and added value.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio Business Experts. 20 past the hour, every hour, Monday to Friday. On District 32, the power of connection.